Blog Talk Radio.
Try to do the best I could, doing all the things that they say I should. But I'm in the same old place, looking for a new life, searching for a change. Don't look down, gotta keep my head up.
Let's go.
The bottom I never liked, so I quickly made it exit. My best is I'm changing flight. I made it bright, my sights an amazing light. So I try to be my finest, my highest, I made it right. I made changes, a stranger to giving life. But a wife and some children can build it and make it right. I'm making nice, two lives I'm living twice. Once was long ago, the other is really nice. I'm searching for a new life, searching for a change. Working like a servant for these merchants for a chain. Searching for a purpose for my service in the game. Now I circuit for my purpose, never nervous when I blaze. I get it working, put my word in for my pain. My verbiage keep me surging when I turn it into gain. I'm never turning, only learning when I aim. So I serve it with a purpose, Mr. Perfect.
Well, good evening to the Diamond on the Rough show with Chris / Mountain Man and our famous Jelly, Ordinary Woman. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. It's weird. I think all this snow and stuff has really been affecting the electronics around here. So you sound scratchy. What's going on over there?
I sound scratchy.
Yeah, we're coming across rough. We're having technical difficulties. We can't seem to get the chat room up, but welcome, everybody. For those of you that are familiar with...
Well, you do your thing, Callie. You go ahead and start talking, and let me pull it up over here.
Yeah, I know.
To try something.
Right. I don't know why you sound really scratchy. I hope that our listeners don't hear it that way. Well, hello, everybody. We're doing our best here. As you all know, we have gotten absolutely bombed over here in the East Coast with the snow. And I guess we're supposed to get snow on Saturday, but altogether in the last week, we've actually received over 25 inches of snow, not to mention that there were already about a good 2 feet on the ground. So needless to say, we really have nowhere to put it. One of the chores my husband had to do today was actually climb on the roof and get rid of about 7 feet of snow that had piled up there. I was afraid it was going to crash into our three-season porch, so that was fun. But, yeah, it's been crazy.
Wow.
So one of the technical difficulties we're experiencing is that the Wi-Fi is down because of the power outage. So we're actually broadcasting over a network, cellular network card. Thank God for technology. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here totally in silence. How about on your end, Mom, any technical difficulties with the electricity?
We've got electricity over here, so you could always come hook into my network.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because you sound really scratchy on the connection for some reason. I hope, like I said, I hope it doesn't sound like that to our listeners, because it's like really scratchy when you're talking to me. It's almost like it's breaking up. But yes, hello everybody, welcome. We apologize for all the technical difficulties. As I said, it's been really crazy out here in the East Coast. A lot of frozen wires, power outages, that kind of stuff going on. So we're trying to overcome and improvise. As a matter of fact, today we were supposed to have Pamela Glasner from Pennsylvania, who's a writer, and we were supposed to have Louise Robinson from England. She was going to call in a screenwriter, but because we had so many technical difficulties during the week with the snow and all the glitches, we decided to postpone that. So that interview will actually be held on March 17th. Mountain Man, do you hear that scratchy coming in through the microphone? Hello? Hello. I think I lost my host there, my co-host. Anyway, so one of the things that just wanted to touch bases with everybody is I hope you've had a great week. I hope things are looking up for you as they have been for us as well. Mountain Man, can you hear me?
I'm in the process of changing phones. Is that any better?
A lot better. Thank you. That's
big difference. I can actually hear you. It was coming across really scratchy and just a whole lot of static. But yes, so to our listeners, as I said, we apologize for kind of improvising over here because of all the technical glitches. Luckily, I have electricity. I just don't have actual internet. So we're kind of winging it with internet from my network card. Thank goodness for that. And we're here. So, Mountain Man, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Oh, you really want to hear an interesting story.
Yes,
my
I do.
Week
What's
has been
on?
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before we get too far into, I don't know if you said hello to everybody, but hello to our listeners in our chat room.
Well,
we've got our chat room up.
Yes, we're getting our chat room up, and there's a little delay on there, so there's people that are actually in the chat room that aren't showing up yet because there's a little bit of a glitch there. We're trying to fix it, get everybody in there. So I will actually delay that a little bit. Once we have it completely up, then we'll give the shout-outs to everybody in the chat room just to make sure that we don't leave anybody behind.
All right.
I hate to not acknowledge someone. So, yes. One of the things that I wanted to talk about in a little bit,
Mountain Man has
stories to share with us. If you just give me a couple of minutes till we get all the glitches out. One of the things that we would like to cover on tonight's segment, tonight it's just going to be Mountain Man and me. I think it's been a while since it has been just the two of us. And there's a lot of topics that I think we need to discuss. And I thought today would be a great day to do that. So before we get to all of that good stuff, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. That is the website where you can find us. That is where you can find our segment pages for information on future shows on today and on past shows if you have missed some of our broadcasts and would like to catch up. That is the place to go. You can actually listen to some of the shows from the past there. You can download them. You can go through iTunes, however you want to do that. So that's that. Mountain Man has given the phone number, will you please?
Well, I actually was on a show yesterday afternoon talking to one of our wonderful listeners, when she can listen. Her name's Cassandra McDonald.
Yes.
She does a show on Wednesday afternoons. And her and I had a very good conversation. And I was telling her more about our show. And I hope you got the information, Charlie.
I did. One of the good things for our listeners to know is that Blog Talk Radio family is amazing. I mean, there's a lot of shows on here, very different from what we do. And one of the great things that I found is that there isn't that snippy competitiveness, kind of like my show, don't share with anybody. That's not the case here. It's really nice that there's a great support system from the other show hosts. There's a lot of networking, there's a lot of cross-promotion, and that's really cool because you can have someone like Cassandra who does her shows on Wednesdays, and she calls in, we call her, and it's just kind of nice. And that's just not with Cassandra, it's with across the board. So if you ever get the chance to wander in there and check out all the other different shows, there's a lot of really great shows on Blog Talk Radio. And the great thing is that there's a lot of networking and a lot of fellowshipping that goes on. And that, I think, is just one of the greatest things about being here as part of the Blog Talk Radio family.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, our room is growing.
Yes, little by little we're getting there. So it's getting there. You have to excuse me. Like I said, I'm trying to focus here on two things at the same time as we're doing that.
Well,
what I'm going to do real quick, just to get everybody situated, because I don't want to leave anybody out of our chat room. What I'm actually going to do real quickly right now is there's this amazing song. This we'll talk about it a little bit more. But I actually got exposed to a whole lot of good music this past week, and I want to share some of it. But I want to play this one particular song that I think will be great. Give us a couple minutes to make sure the chat room's fully up, and I can have my total focus on you guys, which is the most important thing. Ran into...
I was going to pull it up on my end.
No, I have it. What I have is this past Sunday, I was privileged to be a guest judge on the Debra Crosby Talent Quest. They filmed it. It actually is broadcast on MyTV in New England. It has a 2.5 million viewership. And they filmed the final show, the semifinal, actually, show this past Sunday. And one of the things that I got amazed by was, well, my two judges. Chris Murphy was just an amazing guy. He's one of the executive producers at MyTV, the program development. And I also had Matt, who is a member of a band called My Silent Bravery. Love the name of that band. And he also happened to be one of the guest judges. So I got the opportunity to listen to him perform this song live at the House of Blues. I'd like to share it with you guys in the meantime so you can listen to this great song for a couple minutes while I finish getting the glitches out of our chat room. So this song is called Smoke, and it's by My Silent Bravery. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Build, crumble apart, yeah. all these years. Nothing left but smoke around here. Breaking your heart.
And that was one of our good songs that Charlie has provided us with, a good old song there. And are you back or not?
Yeah, I muted myself.
I got you. I got you.
Yes, I got it. I got it. Oh, anyway, so that was My Silent Bravery, and that was Smoke. We've got a couple more songs coming from them later on in the show, and I just wanted to share that with you guys because I thought it was such an incredible song. And it's just an indicator of the caliber of talent that Deborah Crosby brings to the table every time during these Talent Quest shows. And I also want to give a shout-out to Amy Moquin, who was a little dynamo running around this past Sunday at the show taping. And I also got to hear her perform. If you guys remember last week, she did a little a cappella for us. Actually got to hear the rest of the song done on the stage live. Amazing. Just an incredible voice, crazy, incredible talent, and just an amazing lady. And Andy, yeah, that group was called, he said, thanks. That was called My Silent Bravery, and we'll be putting up their information. Also going to have them on the show later on in the next couple of months to enjoy us. Andy, yes, the snowbank
awesome.
On either side of my driveway are about 7 feet high. That's about the same with us. I'm telling you, I really have no clue what is going on with us.
I get about 7 feet of snow over here in the property where I live. I've got also even higher snowbanks over here as well. So, but because of all this snow, I have been, since the start of all of this snow, I have been stuck in the house. I haven't been able to really get out.
You know, it's funny because that's something that we take for granted. I know we as mobile people have no problem. We do have a problem getting around. I mean, we think about the fact it's an inconvenience. We got to shovel out. We got to put salt and all this other stuff. We really don't give much thought to how much more of a challenge it is when you have a physical disability or limitation, as in your case where you have to use a wheelchair. And it's just something that we don't think about. And one of the things that I've noticed is it me or has there really been a customer service letdown, put it politely, in the plowing service? It just seems like they're taking their own sweet time getting to plow the streets and getting people out. And the only reason I'm lucky is because I have a neighbor of mine that actually is an independent contractor and does plowing on the side. So he's actually nice enough to help us out with the driveway and stuff. But if it wasn't for that, we would literally be stuck because our street is one of the last ones to get plowed because we're a little side street. The main street gets plowed, and Andy knows about this because we're actually talking about it. There's a street that goes straight down. If you're standing in front of my front door, you look, and there's a street going straight up. Well, for some reason, the plow guy sees no problem with him just plowing straight through this side street across the main street I'm on and right onto our front steps. Like, he just dumps all the snow where my boy's just shoveled, and he continuously does this, doesn't see a problem with it. Like, so oblivious to the fact that he's actually snowing us in. And like I said, I have the advantage where I have my boys that come over and shovel and that kind of stuff. My husband's perfectly mobile, but if it was an elderly couple or somebody with a handicap, I mean, how inconsiderate is that? You know what I mean?
It is very, very inconsiderate. I've had to actually call the town myself, where Charlie and I do live, which is in the good city of Lowell. And
right.
I've actually had to call the city manager's office and express my concern because, as many of our listeners know, And hello to everybody who's in the chat room, finally. I can see.
Yes, I can see everybody is actually showing up. We have Andy, Betty, Bill, guest 16699. Welcome, welcome. Guest 17139, Infamous Angel, as always. Karen, welcome. Carly, Mary, Robert, and Starlight, as usual. Thank you so much for you guys being here, and it just means a lot for your support and your understanding, especially with all the little glitches we're going through right now. But thank you so much for being here. It means a lot that you guys are there for us and give us your love
exactly,
and your support.
Exactly.
Okay, hold
so
on.
As
I just, there it is. See, I swear to goodness, you guys, it's so funny. I just totally just lost the chat room in my, on my, I'm looking at the switchboard going, where is it?
Yeah,
man, I'm telling you.
Over there.
It has
Anyhow,
been one of those
so,
weeks. Yeah. So anyway, you had to call
so
the
anyways,
city.
So I have, every so often have to call the city because there is a sidewalk that go that is on the other side of the street of where I live, and they have built a physical sidewalk there because I've lived in the location where I'm at for at least 5 years. And at the beginning of my 5 years, I actually had to go into the street. Now, Charlie, you know how busy Westlake Street is in the
yes,
city of Wolf.
Yes, it is. Very busy.
Okay. I have to sometimes take my life into my hands just to even cross the street. Never mind crossing the street, but there, the first couple of years I've had to go along the side of the street because there was no sidewalk. They had a graveled sidewalk, but not a paved or sidewalk. So I had gone to the city, and they eventually built a sidewalk that is now there on Westwood Street. And for a couple of years, they've actually did a great job at plowing that area. And I'm not talking bad about the city, but this year, I don't know where these storms have come from, but I think it's the La Nina effect. Not the El Nino, but La Nina effect of the two systems we've had. And I think that's where the storms have come. And by now, I'm just wishing. Spring cannot even come fast enough for me.
Right.
Because every time I want to get out, I can get out into the property where I live. I can go down to the end of our driveway where I live. And once I get down there, I have to look to see where I can cross right now because of all of this snow that we have been hammered with. I mean, in the city of Rome, I think they estimated we had gotten 17 inches of snow within the city. I'm not sure where they got these numbers from, but Lowell had gotten 17 inches of snow, and I don't know where they're putting it. I don't even know if they've even plowed that sidewalk that I'm talking about because I haven't even tried to venture out because every time I want to, the weather just starts to come right back into play here. It's like I try to get on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Every week I've tried for the last consecutively 3 weeks. I have tried to get out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And wouldn't you know it, the forecasters have predicted some sort of a snow day or some sort of a snow shower, snowstorm, whatever, for that particular day that I'm wanting to get out. And that's happened to me within the past 3 to 4 consecutive weeks.
It
so
has.
It's been
I noticed there's a trend in that, and that's funny because it's kind of like, okay, this particular show, I called it a hodgepodge, and it is because there's a couple of topics that I have really been meaning to bring up, and we had guests scheduled, so it wasn't the topics that I was in particular interested in didn't correspond to the guests we had. One of them actually came up above last week when we had Ahura Z on the show. He brought up a lot of really good points that, for me, reiterated how important one of the topics that I want to bring up tonight is. But one of the things that I want to bring up now at this particular point with what Chris is hitting on is the fact that I've noticed that we as citizens of the United States, and again, my show, I always try to stay very positive, so I'm going to try to put a positive spin on this, but the reality is I'd love to get some feedback from our listeners. I've noticed that in the last few years, yes, we've gone through economic hard times. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. There's a lot of that going on. But I noticed there's this pattern where there's an increase in taxes, yet there's a decrease in the services that we're getting for those taxes. Great example. Meal mm-hmm. tax in the state of Massachusetts went up to 6.25%, which, and this is where I don't get the thinking of some politicians. They're like, yes, let's raise the meal tax to 6.25, which resulted in less people going out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that there's less money going into the state coffers, and as a result of that, more restaurants are going under or struggling, which means small businesses are going out of business, people are losing their jobs, these small business owners are going to file bankruptcy, they're going to default on certain loans, so there's a loss of revenue. So the point that I'm bringing up is why, and my son used this term a couple months ago, and it really hit me. He called it generation sedation. And that really hit a point with me because I had a kind of a pet peeve with some of my children in the political arena where I said to them, I've noticed that this younger generation, there's less involvement. There's more complaining,
mm-hmm.
but there's less involvement.
Right.
And again, it's very important for me to get feedback from those of you guys that are in the chat room because this is something that I would love to get a perspective on. I would love to open the floor up to, especially because I know that in the chat room we have listeners that are younger and we also have people that are older, just to reach a consensus or an understanding of what's going on and what are some of the things that we, in a positive way, can do to kind of change that. Because I noticed that one of the things that I hear is how politicians are out of tune with us as people, as their citizens, their constituents. I remember years ago when I was a young girl where I felt that, yeah, there was corruption, obviously, always was, always will be,
mm-hmm.
but there seemed to be more accountability with our politicians, where
yes.
if a politician screwed up, we let them know they screwed up, they got sanctioned for it, they got thrown out of office, whatever happened. So there was ramifications
mm-hmm.
where now I notice, and correct me, everybody, please feel free to type into the chat room or call us in on this to let me know what you feel.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, and I'll give you the number. It's 1-347-989-1473. 1-347-989-1473. The toll-free number, if that's a toll call for you, is 1-877-907-7217. Again, it's 877-907-7217. That's our toll-free number. Or you can jump into our chat room, type your question in there, and we'll make sure we bring it up on the air. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's an increasing frustration that I notice with people in the United States, yet that frustration isn't translating into action. You know, I don't see, like, again, this conversation came up with one of my sons where Chris, my son, was saying, I said to him, in the 70s, there were protests. People were complaining. Now, whether good, bad, or indifferent, that's not the point. My point was that
mm-hmm.
colleges across the nation were protesting. There was sit-ins. There was all these kind of protests going on
So it was that dissatisfaction was translated into action. So the politicians had to take note. Listen, we're not happy, and this is what we're doing to let you know we're not happy. I don't see that.
And I think it's happened over the last few years, because if I'm not mistaken, the president before Obama and the one before that one is when the whole thing really started. And just from the previous two presidents, I've seen this whole entire area just completely go downhill. Now, mind you, I am a voter of Massachusetts in the city of Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the presidential elections, I did not vote. And the reason why I did not vote was because of the way that all the commercials were happening and
mm-hmm.
what everyone was saying. I didn't agree with a single thing that they were saying, because it's like, and I looked at it from all that, I try to look at it from all aspects of life here, but I mostly look at it as soon as they started talking about doing something with Medicare or the health insurance,
mm-hmm.
that's what turned me off. Because
right.
like, they're looking to try to cut X amount of dollars so they can just give back, $7 trillion back into the government. So they're going to look at sitting here and cutting this program out, that program. They looked at cutting a lot of programs.
Hold on a sec, Fountain Man. You're breaking up again. I don't know what's going on with your connection, but you're coming off real scratchy. So it's kind of like we're missing some of what you're saying. I don't know if you're getting some feedback or something. You're really breaking up. I don't know if it's coming across like that on the show, but you're breaking up on this end. But just to say, reiterate some of the stuff that you said, and again, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And Andy made a good point here when he says in the chat room, when I was growing up in the 80s, it felt like everything from music to science to cartoons to technology seemed like the sky was the limit and you wanted to reach for the sky. There doesn't seem to be that spark in the kids these days. I think it's because people are afraid to speak up is what infamous Angel says. Andy, you made a really good point, because that floors me that there's this perception among the youth that people are afraid to speak up when there is no reason to be afraid to speak up. And, you know, I am an American citizen. I grew up here. But the reality was, had I been here 40 years ago and I tried to speak up, I would have probably been killed or thrown in jail and left there to rot. There was no rights for me. There was no indicator of, okay, you know, you can get a lawyer, you're going to have all these organizations helping you. That wasn't the case. And the reality was that in the 40s and 50s, some subjects were so unpopular and taboo that there was real fear. There were parts of the country where people did not speak up because they knew that if they did speak up, it would probably result in them getting killed. That's not the case now. The case now is that because of the internet and video cameras and video phones and all this stuff, you can basically say or do anything without fear of repercussions. I mean, look at our politicians. Mm-hmm. They get away with everything. Very little.
Exactly.
Is there any punishment or sanction for them? So to me, it's interesting to hear from a young person saying that they're afraid to speak up. Where is that fear coming from? Now, the thing that I find absolutely mind-boggling is that our next generation, in this case, it would be like my children and anybody in their 20s or 30s, that's going to be the first time in American history that their generation is going to make less money than we have
my generation, they're going to have a harder time buying a home. Their longevity, their years of life is going to be shortened, and the fact that their quality of life, health-wise, is going to be diminished. That generation is the one with the growing increase of diabetes, heart disease, obesity, all these ailments, coronary disease. And these are diseases that are showing up in their mid-tweens, 20s, and 30s. Again, it just blows my mind that no one sees this as a problem. And the thing that Andy hit, which applies to me, is that spark. Because I know that as difficult as some things were in the 60s and 70s for certain people in this country, there was always that spark, that thing that said, I can do anything I choose to. It might be difficult, it might be hard, it might take me a long time, but I can make my dreams come true. Whereas, like Andy said, I don't see that anymore. Kids nowadays, some of them have this thing where, it doesn't work, it's not going to happen. I mean, they just, and rightfully so in some cases, because I know 20 years ago, if you had a college degree, you were made. It was golden. You were guaranteed you were going to work in a good company, have a good job with great benefits. Not the case now.
Exactly.
Not the case.
No, it's not.
Tons of kids with tons of loans for college that they have to pay back, and they're all on unemployment or trying to find jobs or, sadly, working in minimum wage jobs because they cannot find jobs in their profession or their career. So while
exactly.
it seems like it's a very negative, so while it might seem like it's a negative topic, it's not. My spin on this is just to get a feel for what is causing this and what are some of the things that we can do to change that perception. And Andy has a good point because he says, is it fear or apathy? Are people afraid or are they just convinced it won't matter? I hear that a lot. One person isn't going to make a difference. Doesn't matter what I do or say, it's not going to make a difference. Really, people?
Exactly. And that's how I feel a lot of the times. It's like everything I have to go or anytime I try to open my mouth, it's like I'm always getting shut down for whatever reason. It's like I'm trying to stick up for my rights and what I can do and what I can't do. And I just look at the person, I'm like, what are you shooting me down for my speaking out? It's like I can't even start a conversation, never mind even putting in my two cents from in another conversation. It's like I try to look at ways to put my two cents into a conversation and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, you're right, Charlie. You are right. Back when you were talking about colleges, I thought I had a good job here and there, but my only limitations were the transportation. And I just happen to love this room, our chat room. I mean, it's just filling up with questions here and there.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, it's a hot-button topic for me, and the thing is that I just feel the need to vocalize it, because one of the things that I'm a big proponent is, and, you know, because I got on you about it, it's like, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. You have no right to say diddly squat, because I don't care if you had a vote for the less of the two evils, you still need to go out there and vote. And I don't care if you do go out and vote and write in Mickey Mouse to show your dissatisfaction with the two candidates. We need to get involved. And that's one of the things that floors me, because the United States was built on the foundation of people that never, ever settled. That's why they got their butts kicked out of England. That's why they came over here.
Mm-hmm.
We have always been, and I think it's a good thing, the United States is based by a bunch of outlaws and criminals. And people might say that's a bad thing, but it's not, because of the fact that, yeah, okay, we did have some really hardcore outlaws and criminals because England just dumped them all here. But that's not the point. The point is that the fact that they stood up for the fact that they wanted religion freedom, religious freedom. I want to be able to worship the way I want to worship. And they decided that it was worth coming all the way across the ocean on this trip from hell. Most of them died on the way over here, came up with diseases, to come to a land that they had no clue what was here, at the mercy of the elements and whatever they found, for their beliefs. Nowadays, I can't get people to get out of bed into a warm car to go vote for 5 seconds to express their beliefs, or to take the time to sign a petition, or take the time to read a question that's up for vote for referendum, because it's too much work. Really, dude?
Exactly.
This country was based on sacrifice, and you're throwing it away? Like, and the thing that bothers me the most is that millions of good, honest, hardworking men and women died over the history of the United States fighting for our right to vote. There are people in the world that do not have the right to vote, that they get killed for attempting to vote. Yet the last election, which was like, woohoo, big spark because Obama got people off their butt to go vote, we had a 39% voter rate, and we're like, oh, great, you know, like it's a big deal. People in Iraq, the first election they had in 30-something years, with the risk of dying, with the risk of being killed, persecuted, they have to walk miles to get to the polling booth, had a 97% voter turnout. Explain to me why that is. Because, you know, the reality is they understand the sacrifice. They don't have the sense of apathy about the fact that, what's the big deal? There is a big deal. There's a history involved with this. There's a reason why we have this right, and we don't take it seriously. And the other thing that gets me is that we take it for granted that it's a right that was given to us because people gave their lives up for it. You know what?
Yeah, but the thing that I look at right now, child, in all this topic, and the topic you just brought up is, we're in Iraq right now.
Right.
Okay. Why are we even in Iraq right now? And it wasn't because of Obama. It was because of his predecessor and the predecessor before him.
True, but the point is that this is, you got a valid point, Chris, but my point is that the United States, and I don't know why people are surprised that we're in Iraq. We people in the world and in the country act like all of a sudden the United States got up 9 years ago and said, oh, I think I'm going to go help these people in Iraq. We are known for doing that. We have been doing that for hundreds of years. Anytime there was a country persecuted or needed, and again, I'm not, my whole thing is I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. That's not the point. The reasons
and
why
I'm not
we're there
saying
are
whether
irrelevant.
It's right or wrong either.
My point is that we have been doing that for hundreds of years, where anytime anybody needed help or whatever, we were there. And that's always been great. But the problem that I have, and I know exactly where you're going, is that this is one of the first times in our history that we are expediting more money, time, and energy to help people outside of the United States than helping our own citizens. And there's a problem there. I really see a challenge with that. I'm all for helping people anywhere in the world, but we got to take care of our own first. When our homeless rate is so high, what?
Here's another one that just within the past week or so that ended up starting for whatever reason is this one in Egypt.
Right.
I mean, we're over in Egypt now trying to put out the fires in Egypt now because they want a particular – their particular president or whoever it is out of their political arena.
Right.
It's just like, I mean, come on. It's like we're in Iraq. Now we're going over to Egypt. It's like, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about, okay, what is going on? It's like, I feel that ever since Obama came into office, it just seems like everything went by the wayside. It's like,
but the thing is, you could say that, Chris, but this is the reality of it. If you're looking at it from a technical point of view, Obama's been in office for 2 years, and the war in Iraq has been going on for 9. The residual of the economy, the situation that we're in right now, was something that was long overdue. It's a process that had been going on for the last 12 or 15 years. And unfortunately, that happens. When you become president in this country, a lot of times the good presidents, the presidents that had a great presidency and a lot of great things happened and the economy was great, had nothing to do with them. It was residual from the prior administrations, and just because the programs or whatever they did had a time to actually work. Well, it's the same thing when it's bad. So my whole thing is that everybody in this country, for the most part, loves to point the finger. And if you talk to anybody on the street, they will give you 50 different people to blame. They'll blame the president, the Democrats, the Republicans, the independents, the youth, the non-youth, the gays, the religious zealots, non-religious, the atheists. We're always going to find someone to blame. But the reality is that we need to look inside ourselves, and this is what's lacking, and say, what am I doing for my country? John F. Kennedy, who was a great president for some things, not so great for others, and the reality is that the historians will tell you the chances of him having been reelected, probably not going to happen, because there was a lot of other things that history has decided to kind of get fuzzy with and glamorize or whatever. The reality was that the quote he said where you need to ask, what can I do for my country, instead of what can my country do for me, what can I do for my country, that principle has really disappeared. And I'll give you a great example. When the war in Iraq broke out, and again, has nothing to do with the war, when I heard army people, soldiers, people who had signed up for the National Guard that were now being shipped over to Iraq, Afghanistan, Bosnia, saying, oh, I have to go to war? I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to have them pay for my school. Really? Mm-hmm. You signed up to be part of the military force, and now all of a sudden you're freaking out because you might actually have to honor your commitment of going to war. Blows my mind. So basically, you signed up for the good stuff, the give me the college money, the benefits, all this cool stuff, but now that you actually have to earn your keep, there's a problem. Where back in the day, and there's still some people like this, where they didn't have to be asked twice. When the war broke out in Iraq and it was declared, I have tons of my friends that were in the police department and people that I knew that went to the recruiter the next day and said, I'm going. They didn't have to be asked. They didn't have to be forced. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do that. They knew, and again, irregardless of whether it's a good war or a bad war, whatever, they had that patriotic sense of duty of this is what I'm going to do for my country. And my whole thing is, where has that gone?
I hear that 100%. I hear that 100%. And I'm not against what you're saying, Charlie. I'm all for people who want to serve their country. If I could, I'd serve our country myself. But because of my disability, I find it very challenging to help to serve our country.
But see, that's the thing, though, Chris, because I remember hearing war stories from my brother-in-law, who was basically telling me stories from his grandfather. During World War II, there was a lot of people that could not go to war. They couldn't because they had disabilities or whatever, yet they still provided a service. They volunteered with the radar, with the air raid patrol. They did security patrols. They volunteered to do iron drives and metal drives and clothing drives and Red Cross drives. They volunteered with the Red Cross. They volunteered with the USO. Even little kids were doing penny drives. They were out there collecting pennies, saving pennies to the war effort. So there was this whole collaborative effort of, this is our country, and we're going to work towards making it a better country. That's not the case anymore. The case now is, what is in it for me? And I'm going to point out real quick, there's a couple of good comments here in the chat room, where the American generation, they live in this world where everything is a right to them, not knowing most things are a privilege. And Johnson hit that. When I was working as a police officer, I can't tell you how many people would say to me, you can't take my license away. That's my right. No, it's a privilege. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts gives you the privilege to operate a motor vehicle on the roads of the Commonwealth as long as you follow the rules. It's not a right, which means you drive drunk, you don't take a breathalyzer, you lose your license, plain and simple. Or the fact that you're reckless and you don't drive well and we give you a test and you fail, you don't get your license. So the thing is that's the reality. There's just this sense of entitlement where everything nowadays is, that is my right. No, it's not. You got to earn it. Like, it blows my mind where, and again, this is another hot topic, where people will complain about immigration ad nauseum. All these illegal aliens. But if you go, and I know because I've done this, I've worked job fairs where if you see McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, all these fast food places, high school kids don't want to work there. College kids don't want to work there. They're like, I'm not working for minimum wage. So these kids who don't even have a college degree yet, don't have a high school diploma, are like, don't want to get out of bed for less than $9 an hour, yet they have nothing to provide. Mm-hmm. Yet on the other realm, where you have people that are willing to take these minimum wage jobs, and some of them will work below minimum wage because they're being exploited by greedy factory owners and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a constant cycle of, you know, back in the day, I remember I was 12 when I had my first job. It was expected for me to have a job. And I was making $3 an hour collecting recyclables to take them to the recycling plant. That was my job. I worked for Citizens Recycling, and I would go to all the different houses of the people that had signed up, collecting the newspapers and magazines and bottles and cans to take them to the recycling bin. Was it a glamorous job? No. I made $12 a week because I could only work a few hours because of school. I loved it. I thought it was great. There was a sense of accomplishment the very first time that I bought myself my first sub with my money that I paid for. Kids nowadays, they don't think like that. And I'm not saying all of them. It's just that majority, or actually it might be the minority, because some people never, you know, the good people, the hardworking people don't say anything, the ones that we hear all the time. And I'm just trying to figure out what is creating this environment of indifference in our country. And then on the other hand, we're like complaining about everything. So another comment here is, Andy's got a great comment here. He's so funny. He's like, when we were talking about the people that signed up for the National Guard and complained, says, what do you think they were joining, the U.S. Embroidery and Hot Muffin Society?
I saw that. That was a good comment, Andy. I mean, that really is a good comment. I mean, to be honest with you,
my God.
Kelly, I know you were just talking about your jobs in your earlier years. I know my first job was a volunteer job. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't even get me going on that, Chris. Volunteer jobs? People are like, you tell a kid, look, when you're in high school and you want to get experience in something, obviously you're not going to get hired in that job because you don't have any experience if you volunteer. Or I've even done job counseling where a kid will say to me, oh, I want to be a nurse. Great. Go to Lowell General, volunteer, go to the VA and volunteer to figure out what it's about. You know, you work with the nurses, go read to a veteran, go help them write letters. Go, why should I do that? They're not going to pay me.
because you can't put a price on experience.
Where I'm trying to go with this is I love animals, and you know that as well as I do, Callie. Okay.
Right.
I back when I was in school, I would do a program that the teacher helped develop, but I helped her do the whole entire thing. It helped her to take care of the animals that we had in our high school. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do a certain program and teach little kids how to take care of a rabbit and what the rabbit would eat and how it would live and all that. And to this day, I still enjoy animals, okay?
I
love cats. I love dogs. I love a lot of the reptiles
that
are around as well. I love all kinds of animals. Don't get me wrong. Some scream me out, but I'm not going to go there. But my whole point is...
Right. But see, the thing is, Chris, you attained a lifelong skill from learning how to take care of an animal and feed it, and you learned a lot from it. And it's just, and you know, it's funny because for me, I look upon it as, for me, it's kind of sad. Like, I feel sad for what a lot of younger people are missing out. And when I'm saying younger, I'm not just talking about kids that are teenagers. I mean, I heard some 30-year-olds say some stuff that I was like, really? Can I slap you now? And that's not a very loving thing to say, but it just floored me of that attitude, like, oh, my God, you know, really? That's what you feel. And, you know, it's funny. We were just a few minutes ago talking about, like, for example, the war in Iraq. And, you know, the thing that gets me is that these kids are complaining about stupid crap where we hear about the fatalities in the news because that's, you know, it's negativity and that's what people want to hear and that's what sells newspaper. But we don't hear about the veterans
news.
We don't hear about the veterans that come back injured. We don't hear about the fact that for every 1,000 veterans that have gotten killed in Iraq, we have 20 to 30,000 that have gotten injured.
Mm-hmm.
And they have injuries that have affected their life and they need to be able to deal with. And again, talking about the government and the lack of services, why are they not being serviced? There's not enough money earmarked to make sure that these veterans get the services that they deserve, they've earned. Now, when we were talking about rights earlier, in my book, there is no way to other put it that if your butt was out in some sand hellhole defending my rights, while I'm nice and warm in my bed, and you come back with some life-altering injury, whether it's physical or psychological, emotionally or mental, I believe that you have definitely earned the right to get the services you need. And you're going to tell me that, oh, take a number, we don't have enough beds, or the fact that the VA or the powers that be are nickel and diming these veterans, like saying, well, is that really a disease, you know, like post-traumatic stress syndrome? Is it real or is it fabricated? This is a family show, so I'm not going to use the real language I want to use. But you know what? If you had to live in an environment where you are sleeping out in the elements, where the stress factor of not knowing who's friendly and who's foe, who's going to shoot at you and who's going to give you a cup of coffee, and you have to live under that pressure cooker for 8, 9, 10, 12 months. Some of these people have gone back 2, 3, 4, 5 tours of duty because other people are not volunteering to take their place, and they're being reshuffled into the system. Do you think maybe, just maybe, this person might have some issue that they have to deal with as far as all the stress that they were under? And then some doctor who has never set foot in a hostile environment, who has probably never left their tower of academia, is going to say, well, I don't think that's a real ailment. Really?
Mm-hmm.
How, who are you to dictate that? And then the services aren't going to be provided by because some person that has no clue is dictating whether that's a disease or not. That's where Americans should be outraged about that.
Exactly, and it's just like, and I know our listeners know who I am, and they know my some of my circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I get irritated with, is when I get a letter from my insurance companies that I'm involved with, saying, oh, we're going to cut your whatever,
mm-hmm.
And you have to now pay out of pocket for those services. I'm sitting here, I'm like, excuse me, what? And I'm not the only one that has gotten those letters. There are a number of us who have gotten those letters that, because of a certain part of the government, has cut the reimbursements or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
for those particular types of services. And it comes down to the people who need those services. And it's
right,
just
and
like,
it's
yes,
true.
I
it's always
get
the ones who need the services.
And it gets me to no end. And there's all these new rules and new regulations that they've got. It's like I speak my mind. I try to speak my mind. It
right.
is not like what I have to say, but it's like every time I speak my mind, it's like, oh no, you can't do that. You can't say this. You can't say that. It's like, then what good is it for me to even speak?
Because the fact is
and
that, and because now the thing is, you have to realize, and I want all my listeners to get this. And for example, the Nielsen rating, everybody knows what they are. The Nielsen ratings, you hear about, oh, you know, there were so many homes. One of the things about PR marketing that you learn is, for example, if there's a TV show that someone complains about, there's something, whatever, for every person that either calls, writes, or emails, it is actually considered as the demographics of 10,000 actual people because of the percentages. So the reality is that I don't care if it's only one person, which it shouldn't be. It should be everybody complaining. But if there is, you have to continue because eventually someone is going to hear. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that, again, kind of sparked this whole debate for me is the fact that years ago, middle class was the highest percentage in this country. The lower income, poor people, quote unquote, were the minority, the minute part of the community. The same thing with the super rich, you know, the 5% of the population. What's getting me now is that the middle class has been rapidly disappearing. The fact that years ago, someone that was middle class could work in a manufacturing job making decent money and could send their kids to college, buy a house, have a decent car, have the opportunity to go on vacations once in a while, and have a relatively good life. And that aspect of our society is disappearing. And my whole thing is, where is the outrage when major companies are shipping our manufacturing jobs overseas? Where the simple fact that a manufacturing company, like recently last month in Devens, there's an electronic company that had workers at Devens, that they had 300 workers there. The minimum wage for the workers, because it was an electronic field, was between $15 and $20 an hour. And they moved
mm-hmm.
their operations to China, where they're going to pay people $3 a day to do this. Where's the outrage? Where is the outrage for the fact that this has continuously happened? And shame on us, because we have no problem buying products from China and Taiwan and all these other countries that are being manufactured by them, but the people making the money are greedy American corporations. And we're like, oh, yeah, whatever, no big deal. And we as a society,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, okay, I understand it. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it because, yeah, I'm going to go for the cheap buck. If I can buy a radio that was made in China for $20 as opposed to having to pay $150 for one that was U.S. manufactured, if money's tight,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a hard decision sometimes because I might not be able to buy a radio or whatever because of that. But the reality is that our so-called moral compass, where did it go?
we have no problem with seeing how all these jobs are disappearing, how we sit there and say, we don't even think about the fact that Congress had to approve to extend the unemployment benefits to 99 weeks. And we don't think anything about that. Or the fact that, on top of the fact that we're talking about the young people, I mean, they're getting double whammy too, because of all the, on top of all the other statistics we talked about, they're getting screwed out of jobs that they would normally get, because people my age are now unemployed. And if I'm an employer and I can hire someone in their 40s with life experience and responsibility and a track record for $10 an hour, I'm going to do it, as opposed to hiring an 18-year-old for the same amount of money. So the jobs that would normally go to teenagers and people in their 20s are now going to people in their 40s and 50s because the unemployment rate is so high and so many jobs have disappeared. Yet, where's the outrage? It's funny because Andy was actually talking about this a while back, and it's funny because one of my sons said it, he's like, this should be riots in the street. And I know it sounds like a dramatic thing to say, but we as a society, that's why the term generation sedation hit me so much, that the stuff we put up with now or tune out is mind-boggling compared to what our prior relatives or ancestors are like, no, we're not putting up with that. That's wrong. And they were willing to speak up about it. Funny, it says here, Andy says, 99 weeks is almost 2 years. I don't care if it's flipping burgers. If you can't find another job in 2 years, you aren't trying hard enough. And the reality is that, because I do volunteer as a job counselor in the city, it's amazing. Like, honestly, this blew my mind. There was an ad in the paper for a job, $8 an hour. And the job was as a janitor, a groundskeeper. It wasn't even like, you know, anything glamorous. It was like literally you're picking up trash, cutting grass, all of it. So $8 an hour, 25 hours a week. They had 590 applicants show up. 590 people to show up for this one job. And if you saw these resumes, it would blow your mind. You had people that had been in upper management applying for this job, because they were like one of the guys that says, look, $8.50 an hour for 25 hours a week is more than I'm making now, because I haven't been able to find a job. And a lot of these upper management jobs are being weeded out. So what they're doing is they're getting rid of the middle management jobs, the lower supervisory jobs. Mm-hmm. And basically when another thing they're doing is they're, when a person retires or gets laid off, they're distributing that person's workload among the other workers. So now on top of the fact that you aren't getting raises, your insurance benefits are being cut, your life insurance is being cut, all these benefits are being cut, you're expected to do the work of other people that have been fired or laid off. Again.
Exactly. Charlie, exactly.
I'm saying what's going on and why have we as a society just said, all right, no big deal. I'm not going to do anything or say anything. So the reason I want to bring this up is because for my listeners, I want to really get you guys to think and say, what can I do as an individual to change things?
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's something so simple as showing up for a city council meeting or a school board meeting or a meeting of whatever, if there's a public meeting or a candidate forum or a debate where you register and you ask these questions. And I don't care if you think it doesn't make a difference. Somewhere down the line, it made a difference. The movement for civil rights. Started with one person. Mm-hmm. And Rosa Parks is funny because I had the privilege of seeing her interviewed live. And one of the things she said, she's like, you know, she said, when I didn't move to the back of the bus, I wasn't thinking about civil disobedience or protesting. She's like, I was just tired. My feet hurt. She said, I was so dang tired. She's like, I could care less what they did to me. She's like, I just wasn't getting off that seat. So here's
exactly. And
one
you just
person.
Brought up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
You just brought up a good point because I was going to touch on a comment that's in our chat room, and you just hit it on the nail. of what one of our the people in our chat room had said. It's like, you try to stand up for your rights, and then the boss ends up turning around and firing you because you're standing up and speaking for your rights.
But you know
that's
what? That's
fair.
The thing that gets me. Yeah, but you know what, Chris? That's the other thing that gets me. It's like 30 years ago, if you spoke up and complained, the boss would fire you and nothing would happen to that person or that company. Now in this country, we're so happy. If I got fired for speaking up for my rights, I would have 30 lawyers knocking my door down the next day willing to take my case pro bono to make a point. I have the media. I could, even if I was the poorest, dumbest person in the world, I could get on the internet, on YouTube, and say, this company fired me for no reason, boycott them. There's so many ways for you to get. So there's no reason to have fear. I mean, we see it all the time. Like, for example, here in Massachusetts, we had that huge case in Woburn like 25 years ago that was made into a movie with John Travolta, where the dumping that had happened in that particular street was killing kids. I mean, there was a demographic of 13 to 20 kids that were coming down with childhood leukemia, childhood cancer, that they were dying. And people really were going to sit there and say, oh, it's a coincidence. No, I don't think so. No, there was a reason for it, and someone was willing to stand up. And so, yeah, it took years. It took years for it to happen. It took years for something to be done. And people could sit there and say, well, it didn't do the kids that died any good. Very true. But guess what? Their deaths were not in vain, because as a result of that, other kids didn't die. The fact that now we're actually getting to see the fact that the tobacco companies knew what the cigarettes did. They actually paid scientists to develop nicotine that was more addictive and that would get you hooked quicker, that they purposely marketed to make it fun for the kids to smoke, that they purposely used characters that were kid-friendly, and that they purposely targeted lower-income neighborhoods and had no qualms about admitting that that's what they were doing. As a result of that, someone blew the whistle, had to go through that whole aggravation, but there was this huge lawsuit that resulted in Philip Morris having to pay some ridiculous $800-something million or billion dollars or whatever they have to pay to set up these programs. So the reality is that it has to start with someone. It has to. And we as a people need to realize, and I'm not saying you go out and shoot people because everybody's like, oh, my God, the revolution. Revolution doesn't have to go out and shoot people, because we saw that Rosa Parks, again, was a great example. That lady did more by refusing to get off her seat. And then on top of that, what Martin Luther King taught about passive resistance, that accomplished more than all the Watts riots, all the bullets, all the other crap that was tried before. It didn't work. Because when you turn to violence, all it does, it turns people against you. It defeats the purpose. Mm-hmm. Violence with violence is not the answer, but action is. And one of the things that I would love to get my listeners to think about is, what are ways that I can get involved? And don't tell me that there isn't ways to get involved. And even if you don't decide to jump into the political arena or go, try volunteering. Please hear me. And, you know, the VA has tons of veterans that could use a friendly hand. Go in there.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, but you're cutting in and out a little bit.
The reality is that they need volunteers. If someone was willing to go overseas and fight for me, would it kill me to take 2 hours or 4 hours a month to go help them write letters, to talk to them, to have someone that they can just let them know that it wasn't for nothing? Let them know that when the flags are put away after the planes land and they come home and the signs are gone, that we still remember what they did for us. And that's not asking a lot. The same thing with homeless shelters. I mean, there's all these things that at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, everybody and their mother says, oh, I'm going to volunteer at the homeless shelter, and I'm going to help and donate toys. And great. That's only 3 months. That's
exactly.
From November to December. What about the rest of the year? What about the rest of the time that you could do some good to give back to your community? And the reality is that I've found in the past, any time that I give of my time, I'm not going to lie, I get more out of it than what I give. I mean, the pleasure
and that brings up something that I'd like to say, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do read the Bible and everything. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I do believe in God and everything. And there is just one particular passage in Ephesians 2:19. You are no longer foreigners and aliens. And I can't remember the exact, but it says something in there about a piece of a cornerstone. You're a piece of a cornerstone of a building.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I apologize, I don't have the full phrase in front of me, but it's like, we are all a piece of a corner of some sort of reality here. And that's how I look at it and how I look at what's going on. It's like, you take that piece of the corner out, everything else is going to fall.
You know, it's very true, and that's a great analogy, Chris, because one of the things that comes to mind is everybody knows about the world-famous redwood forest in California. These huge, humongous trees that grow hundreds of feet in the air. What people don't realize is that their roots are horrendous. Like, their root system, if you had one redwood tree standing by itself, it wouldn't be able to grow to its full height because the roots wouldn't support it. It would tip over. The way that they survive is that underneath the ground, the roots interconnect to the other trees around them. So if you were actually able to x-ray the redwood forest and look underneath, you would see that all the roots from every tree is intertwined with all the other trees. That's how they hold each other up. And that's the concept that we as a people should have. That if we interconnect and help each other out, it will only make us, the tree, stronger as an individual, but it'll also make the forest or us as a society stronger. Because that's how we...
And see, that's where I try to come in. And I try to think, okay, I'm just a small piece of the puzzle here or a small piece of the building. I'm trying to contribute something here and there, where I can, just to put my 2 cents in or my piece of the building in. And it's like every time I try to do that, guess what happens to that piece? It gets pushed right back out. And that was one of the things I was trying to say is, and that's why I brought that analogy up, is we are all pieces of something here, whether it's a piece of building or something in our lives. We try to interject with everything that we can. But as you say, we all always get ridiculed for what we say.
But you know what? The reality is that, I'm sorry, but one of the greatest things that, oh my gosh, I don't remember if it was a poem I read or a bumper sticker, which sounds funny to say, but I remember reading somewhere that it said, good women never made anything happen. And it sounds like you're putting down good women, but what it was saying was that obedient women that, yes, sir, no, sir, that's the way it is, sir, never got anything accomplished. And that goes for anybody in society, anybody that just went with the flow and didn't want to make waves and was afraid of being ridiculed or made fun of. We don't know who they are because they never did anything worth remembering. If you think of people off the top of your head that are world renowned for something like Gandhi and Martin Luther King and all these other world leaders, you know, Mother Teresa, they did something. They did something outside the realm, something that was different. And of course, these are the extreme cases. But I have to share this one story with me, which I found very funny, because you just said that everybody contributes a little bit to something. And before I go into that story, I want to read this because I think it's awesome. Andy wrote a poem, he says, here, and he's sharing it with us. He says, if you would be successful, answer these two questions true. What would you have? What would you be? And do what you must do. very eloquent, very well put. Because the reality is that the only person keeping you from succeeding, I'm sorry to tell you guys, it's you. Especially in the United States. Especially, yes, I know we talked about the fact that things aren't so hot lately and the generation is a little. But the reality is that we are still the one country in the world where with hard work, determination, and a clear vision of what you want to accomplish, you can still do it. That's the kind of amazing country that we live in. So the reality is that Andy's poem really hits on it. It's the fact of how bad do you want it. And the story I want to share with you really hits the nail on the head how everyone contributes in some way, no matter how insignificant you think it is. Years ago, my ex-husband, who was a mechanic, was fixing a carburetor. And for those of you that are familiar with anything to do mechanical, it's a very drawn-out process because he's an old-school mechanic. So basically, he took this carburetor that he was rebuilding, took it apart. He took the whole thing apart, laid it out on a mat, and was looking through all the pieces to figure out what wasn't working right. Now, I'm watching him because I'm very... I call it observant. He called it nosy. But I'm fascinated by anything to do with putting stuff together, how they work, and that kind of thing. So I'm watching him to kind of get an idea of how this works. So as I'm watching him, he at this point, he's putting it back together again, and he's just kind of focused on doing that. And while I'm watching him, I notice the tiny little ball, the little itty-bitty ball bearing fall out. Didn't think anything of it. I saw it fall. I saw where it kind of rolled. I wasn't quite sure that it had fallen from what he was working on. Just kind of noticed it roll, and it landed on this little crack. So he put it all together, went and added the carburetor back into the car. Wasn't working. Tries to start the car. Car's choking. It's getting flooded. Not working. Now he's like beside himself. He's like, what did I do wrong, this and that. Then I remember the little tiny thing. So I went over, picked it up, and I said to him, is this anything important? And he said, oh, my God. He's like, as small as that piece was the most important one because that was the one that controlled the flow of gasoline, the valve intake for the carburetor. So what I'm trying, the thing that I walked away from is that as small or as insignificant as something might be, there's still an important part to it. You do play an important role. Here was this tiny little itty-bitty ball bearing that in reality didn't seem important, yet it was important. It was very important, and without it, the carburetor didn't work right. So the reality is, the guys, what I'm trying to get across to you is that you never know how your small part, what you're contributing, how big it might be and how important it might be. Okay, on that note, Mountain Man, are you still there? I think I lost him. All right. In the meantime, I think I've lost the switchboard. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but in a moment, let me see and go over to here. All right. I don't know what happened to Muttman. I think we lost him. But anyway, let me just take a small break here. Plays a song. Let's see what we can get. I have this song here called Can You See by Miss Kristen. So I'm going to play the song. It's new. She sent it in to us. She's actually going to be on the show in a little while. So let's take a little break and listen to this song by Miss Kristen.
I apologize. We had a malfunction over here.
I know. I'm like, okay. While you're over there, Can You See by Miss Kristen? I'm going to take a little break because we're having some technical difficulties back up with the switchboard again. So if you could hit that song, and I can try to figure out what's going on over here. So to our listeners in the chat room, this is going to be Can You See by Miss Kristen.
Can You See by Miss Kristen.
Yes.
Let's see if... Give me 1 second here. Can You See...
I don't think Mountain Man can see. I think that song's quite appropriate now. We can't
board.
See. Oh, Can You See by Miss Kristen. You got it?
No, I don't have. If you've uploaded them, I don't see it.
Why don't you do me a favor?
I apologize.
What do you got? Play me a song, and then what you're going to have to do is refresh the switchboard to get the new songs up. But anyway, just what do you got over there that we can play for our listeners?
Let's play Heartbreak by Cardi.
Heartbreak sounds great, so why don't you play that for him, and then I will figure out what's going on this end.
It's a beautiful world, man. The heart, girl. Let's understand, girl, this is unreal. Cause the sweatpants and flip-flops, you still got sex appeal. With a spread of dough, she got me running like OJ. Yeah. This ain't court, so don't judge me, I'm so free. Sometimes I need a girl by my side. This is really nice. And I seen it in the room size, the room size. But baby, I just approach her and I ask her, she need help. Still looking fly in that blue shirt with a mask showing. Them brown eyes and that smile, got her face glowing. I cracked a joke and I sing that simple. It might be love, could it be that simple? Cause the same numbers, now we talking about. She asked a question like them real girls say. She said. Just met my wife. She laughed because she know me, but trust me, that's the old me. She never seen me like this before. She never heard me like this before. I'm kinda like Stevie Wonder first time seeing. What would he say about his glorious being? Colors never ever been so bright. I never ever felt so right. Your body, your face similar to the sunset. Can't take my eyes off until they're gone. Until they're gone. Until they're gone. I know it's kinda hard to trust. Been around, you heard it all, they must. They dogs, mama, they ain't nothing like me. This is MTV, I got the double shot of love. Take a chance, this is real, not no VH1. Turn off your lifetime, it's off inside. Cause I can make your dreams real right through the horizon. So let's go, mama, let's go, mama.
I don't know, if I'm gonna fall in love. Out of that goodie. Yo, Sheree, yo, SP, I see you, baby.
And we're back.
And we're back. And I lost the whole chat room just went down on my end. I love it. It's just, you know what? But we plugged through, guys. So for some of you that can still see the chat room up, you're really not that lonely. There's a lot more people in there. It's just like, just kind of went out on us. Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. So, Matt, did you ever see the other songs we had on there?
Well, as I played that song, the song that you wanted me to play, I finally found, because I hit the refresh on everything on my end. And give me 1 second here. Let me plug in my mouse.
We're just falling apart today. I don't know what it is about the snow. It's like all of a sudden we like can't get anything right. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah,
it's,
we're a professional show. Yeah, I know. It's like everything's freezing up, and it's funny. You wouldn't think that it would affect everything, but anyway. So
Well, thank you, Andy, that you loved our song. And
this is a song I wanted. But anyway. Did you find it? I want to hear Miss Kristen. I'm going to be a little bratty right now. I want to hear that song.
You're going to be a brat for the last 20
minutes of our
show. I'm going
to hold my breath until you play my song.
Okay.
Oh, you got it. Hey, my chat. Nope, not the. What?
Don't make me go into. All right, where did you go?
Yeah, you sounded like you said, don't make me go in there as I'm fighting to get the chat room back up. It's like, don't make me go in the chat room and fix it.
Exactly, because I'll make it so you have to kick me off because I finally figured out how to do it earlier this evening.
Hey, be nice. No kicking the ordinary woman out of the chat room. What is up with that? Yes, I know. I went on the tirade. You see, guys, you give me a podium. I got them up on my soapbox. I went off for 40 minutes on those whole government stuff, and now Mountain Man's going to kick me out of the chat room. What the world?
Infamous girl,
nice.
Thank you. She says that you're hilarious, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Well,
hilarious.
You guys keep it up. I'm going to schedule a show like after midnight where adults only, and then I'll really tell you how I feel. Shoot, I have to have a swear jar next to me, and my kids will get to go on vacation.
She doesn't want us to have any violence in here. Wow.
No violence. I'll just tell you how I really feel. I'll tell you what's really on my mind.
On that note, we are going to play Can You See by Miss Kristen. So Charlie can try to
diddly squat right now. No, I can't. But anyway, that's why we want to play it. Can you see? No, I can't see. I don't see a switchboard or anything.
Okay, I'm better now. You better know. We're going to play Can You See by Miss Kristen.
Get in my eyes. Can you see a light that shines when you look through me? The light in my life. You hold the key for me, baby. Pretend to be preoccupied. I can see you catch my eye. Afraid to take the only risk. Try it once now, kiss my lips. You know you want.
that was Can You See by Miss Kristen.
Can You See?
Can you see?
Okay, you just walked right on top of me.
Hey, I can see. See, I'm all excited because I can actually see the chat room now.
Wow, she's
hey, dead. I can see the chat room. You know, you have like a random person just walk into our chat room all of a sudden and listen to our show. They'll be like, what in the world are they talking about? Yes, we've had technical difficulties, people.
Well, yes, we have. And
so we're back. We're back.
And
all right.
Because
so
of those technical difficulties.
Yes,
okay,
I know.
I'm
it's
getting
been
locked on now.
Well, I don't understand why, because of the snow and stuff. What would that have to do with the internet and all this other stuff freezing? But, hey, what do I know? Karen,
well,
hey,
I'm
she's back, Carly. Hi, Mark. How are you? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, I see my chat room. I'm all excited because I can actually see. I don't hear anything but commercials. Where'd you get commercials from?
Exactly. I was going to ask the same question.
He's like, is there supposed to be music playing right now? Did you guys even hear the music? Somebody better tell me if they heard it or not. It would be embarrassing if no one heard the music except
us. If everyone in our chat room can give us a yes or no from each of you, if you heard the can you see, that would be greatly appreciated. Because we have had some technical difficulties from both hosts this evening. And what happened on my end was the phone that you could hear me clearly on was a corded phone, and it just ended up going kaput on me. All of a sudden, I heard the click, and then 2 seconds later, I heard the busy tone or whatever you want to call the little...
All I heard is me talking to myself. Very, very awkward. Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's get serious. We're a professional organization here. Let's try to act like we know what we're doing. Yeah, right. Anyway, so for those of you that just joined us, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN, is the segment page. You can go on there, listen to our show, make comments, join our chat room, and just be part of the fun. Up to this point, we were actually talking about Generation Sedation, the lack of interest in our younger people, and younger, I mean 30s and 40s too, that just don't seem to want to be involved in much of anything. They want to complain, but they don't want to be part of the solution. If you want to call, we have actually about 20 minutes left. The number is 1-347-989-1473. And the toll-free number, if that's a toll call for you, 1-877-907-7217. Toll-free number again, 877-902-7217. Would love to hear from you. Okay. Wanted to get back to something. Stop laughing at me, okay? I am really trying so hard to be professional right now.
Well, I have to laugh because there was something that was mentioned due to our weather. And I think this has a little something to do with what is going on.
Hey, I'm excited. Hold on. Not to interrupt. I can actually see the chat room again. Yes, I can see you guys. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Montman.
Well, in the highlight of all of our excitement for tonight, they did say that in the New England area, that, especially in the Massachusetts area, in certain parts of the Massachusetts area, that it was going to, the surfaces were going to be refreezing for slippery conditions. And that's not only for the roads, but it's for the trees and all the moisture that is on the lines and everything. So I think some parts of the math is having some issues, I think. I can't promise anything, but I think that's kind of what happened to me is because I'm calling in on a hard line, I think the service provider that I'm using had a little glitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happened with what had happened.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
We're back as bad as ever.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at Mountain Man. It's just that I happened to look down in the chat room, and Andy is swearing that he didn't break me.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I absolutely
love you guys. Hey, listen, real quick, I have got to play this other song because this amazing person, like I told you guys earlier before I went on my political tirade, I swear, I'm all done. I feel better now. But I am challenging you all in the area, my listeners, get out there and do something with your lives as far as getting involved in your community. I don't care if it's mentoring, doing something nice for somebody without expecting something in return. Actually, get involved. Really, give yourself reacquainted with a little term called civic pride. Great thing to have, great thing to flourish and bring forward into the community. So that's my challenge as far as the rampage that I went to. Okay, we're back. This past Sunday, like I told you guys, I was at Deborah Crosby Talent Quest, and I happened to run into some really great talent. The cool thing about being a guest judge is that people like to give you CDs so you can listen to their music. And I have to say, honestly, when it comes to the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest, I have never gotten a bad CD. You guys ever have that happen? You go somewhere and you get a CD, and then you put it on, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Did somebody ever really tell this child that they could sing? And I'm trying not to be rude, but it's like, you know, wow, really bad. I'm not trying to be rude,
but I've gotten that myself.
Oh, yeah, I have, where you're like, really? And I mean, and I've actually gotten a couple that there's no redeeming qualities, like the lyrics, the music. It's just not that good. I mean, and again, I have to give props to the guys that do that because it takes a lot of work, time, and effort to do it. And power to you if you continue on your dream. And we all know that there are singers out there that are world-renowned and famous that aren't that good, but somehow they make it work. So if you can make it work for you, power to you. This particular singer does not fit in that category. She's actually going to be on the show as well in the coming months. LaQuandra Seymour. Now, for those of you that have ever gone to a concert or to a small club venue, when you hear someone sing live, I don't care how well-trained or famous or whatever they are, it doesn't quite sound the same as the CD or on the radio as when they're singing live. And there's that few exceptions. Let me see, who can I mention? Mariah Carey, Celine Dion. Those are the few exceptions. Barbara Streisand is another one that they sound phenomenal live anyway because they're just great. This particular child who is 18 years old, LaQuandra Seymour, absolutely blew my mind. She did the Jennifer Hudson song from Dreamgirls. And let me tell you, when she was done, I was like, Jennifer Hudson who? Because she just blew it away, made it her own. But on the CD she gave me, there's a lot of great songs on there, but there was one in particular that I want to share with you because it's taken it old school, got a little bit of a gospel vibe. But the thing that gets me is that most of the songs is a cappella. It's just her. I want you guys to hear it because I just think she nailed it as far as how good it is, and I just really feel the need to share it with you guys because it's one of my favorites. I know as, again, anybody that's been in the military or any type of law enforcement, Amazing Grace isn't exactly the kind of song that you like to hear because it usually means we're at a funeral, but this one just, I love it. So I'm going to play this for you guys. So for your enjoyment, Amazing Grace by LaQuandra Seymour.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that
Grace by LaQuandra Seymour. I don't know about you guys.
Wow.
Wow. And the thing is, she's 18 years old. Are you serious?
And she's got an amazing voice.
That's what I'm saying. Deborah Crosby, man, when it comes to recruiting talent, she's amazing. The people she gets just blow your mind because you're like, wow. And then she had another girl there, Morgan Lee. We're also going to have her on the show. I wasn't able to get a copy of her CD. She was another one. She was a whole package deal. She had the music, the song, the swagger. And then, of course, there was this lady who was an opera singer, and she sung Time to Say Goodbye, the song that was recorded by Bocelli. I just butchered the poor guy's name. And I was like, oh, are you serious? I was, like, ready to bawl because it's such a powerful song, and her voice was just phenomenal. I loved it. And so it was just a treat to see the talent that was there and that I got exposed to. So anyway, getting back to our subject, we actually took a lot longer on that one topic than what I wanted to continue to go on. But I'm glad we got the opportunity to talk about that. Got it off my chest. It's been bothering me for a while. And like I said, I wanted to definitely challenge you guys to go out there and pay it forward, people. Really, come on now. Let's get going.
Forward.
Mark, I like picking on Mark because Mark's phenomenal. Markson is, what are you, Mark, 23, 24, if that? This kid's involved in everything. He works for Habitat for Humanity. He's gone through the Lowell Police Citizens Academy. He was a dynamo when I was his instructor at Lincoln Tech.
Mark was awesome. He did
He's
awesome.
Just, like, involved in all this stuff, which it goes to show if anybody, and Markson, the one we talked about in prior shows, that Mark has a little bit of a speech impediment, and people just underestimate him, and it drives me nuts because, let me tell you, that kid is so smart, and just his intellect is amazing, and his work ethic and all of that, and that's what we as a society need more of. We need more Marks. Mark, we're going to have to clone you. Yeah, that's another thing. I wish I had half his energy. I used to get tired watching him. And the thing is, Mark never does anything half-butt. I know I'm going on and on, but I can't help it. He's just that type of kid. I remember giving him an assignment where we had to do a paper on a famous murder case because that was the segment that I used to teach criminal justice, and we were doing that. We were doing criminology. And he actually picked the Joan Benoit case. The little girl, Joan Benoit Ramsey, that got killed in Colorado. You know,
Joan Benoit Ramsey?
Yeah, that was the one that he picked. And, okay, here I am. It's a 3-to-5-page paper. Not only did he do the paper, he brought in a video. He had handouts. I'm like, shoot, I should just sit down and have Mark teach the class because he was just
well,
that
good. Well, I
want to
take it on that aspect.
It's funny. He said you gave me a 97. I did. I gave him a 97. He had the highest grade in the class because he was just so good. And
well,
the
I
want to
say something on that one.
What?
Because you invited me to the graduation when you were teaching there.
Oh, my
and
God. That's right. I forgot about that.
I actually would like to hold Mark up because he did a phenomenal job at that ceremony. I could not believe the coordination and everything that was done at that graduation.
And you know the funny thing with that?
Me out of the water.
Oh, and for our listeners, the crazy thing, what Mountain Man's talking about is I used to teach criminal justice over at Lincoln Technical School, and I kind of created a police academy, a mini academy for the people that were going into criminal justice, kind of to get a feel for what it would be like. So they did it on their own. They volunteered. They would come in on Fridays because they normally didn't have class on Fridays. So for 6 weeks during the summer, they came in on Fridays. They were there all day. We did the running, the push-ups, the self-defense, the, you know, all the tactical training and the marching and everything. So at the end of the 6 weeks, we actually did a graduation where we had the march, and Johnson was actually one of the people that was one of our leaders. He was one of our drill instructors that helped with the marching and stuff. To see these young people pull it together in what amounted to 6 days, because that's what it amounted to, like Martin was saying, it made me proud. That's why the topic that I brought up today about the apathy in some of the youth, it also does my heart good to see that it's not all of them. And a lot of these students that were in my class were older. They were, you know, kids that have come from rough backgrounds, lower income. You know, some didn't have the greatest upbringing, didn't have the greatest role models. Yet to see their tenacity and their drive and their desire to succeed and to work towards their goal was just so refreshing. So it's true. I totally agree with Mountain Man. Just to see them. And Mark just blew my mind, because Mark was one of these people that people are like, you think you can do it? He can. Goodness, like I said, I'm going to have him teach in class pretty soon, because he was just so good at it. So it's just great. And I had forgotten, Chris, that I had invited you down there. You got to see them. So, yeah, it was pretty neat to see the marching and everything and the way they were carrying the colors.
And I'm sure you would, Charlie, and I hate to bring this up, but I am. But it would be such an honor if there was a way to reconnect with those people and have them come on the show.
Oh, yeah. I could so do that. I'm sorry.
It would be so awesome.
It would be awesome. It would. And I'm only laughing because, Andy, you're a fool, and I love you. Andy says, when Mark cuts onions, the onions are the ones that cry. For our listeners, Andy has that, and I have had this thing going on back and forth for the last couple of days, the Chuck Norris comments, the jokes, and it was funny. I was having kind of a little bit of a not-so-positive day when Andy started this, and some of the stuff he came up with was hysterical. So that was one of them, and I love it.
I'm looking at the chat room, even though we have about 4 minutes left. But I'm looking at our chat room, and I'm loving the comment. It's just so funny, and that's why I brought it up, Mark, because you're one of the ones that we would love to have come on the show. And not only you,
definitely.
But a lot of
Mark is going to be on the show because he was one of our winners, remember?
Yes, that's true.
He was one of our winners. See, we had so many technical difficulties, we forgot about the contest for this week. We're going to have to do it for this week. Hey, not to cut anybody off, but we got less than 5 minutes left. So I just want to really quickly go through our schedule that is coming up. We got some amazing guests that are going to be coming up in this. And I really wish I could get Alicia Keys on the show. Angel Girl there says, I want Alicia Keys on the show. I want Alicia Keys on the show, too. Oh, man. You know what?
It would be so awesome.
Yeah, actually, it would be. Next week, guys, do not miss this show. We're going to have the 1-2 punch, the Dynamo Duo. We're going to have Amanda McCarthy, which we're actually going to listen to one of her songs on our sign-off that she sent me. And we're going to have her amazing
cousin. Raise the roof.
And we're going to have her amazing cousin, Anthony Garcia. Now, Anthony is a dancer. He's a beat maker. He does a little bit of everything. So we're going to have him on the show as well. So the two of them are going to take up the two-hour segment. real excited because we had Amanda on the show, wow, about a year ago, and it was one of the funnest shows I had. We had, like, her mom, her grandmother, her aunt, her cousin. She had everybody. We had, like, all these calls. It was cool. It was awesome. It was one of the funnest shows that we had. The week after that, we're going to have Jody Purdy of South Shore Casting Company. So if you're interested in getting into the acting industry as an extra, Jody's the lady to tell you how to do it. We're going to have her on the show. We're going to have my buddy Paul Bellevue, who is an actor. He's also a radio host for NPR News in New Hampshire. Exciting stuff. On the 24th, we're going to have the phenomenal and amazing Carrie O'Donnell. She's actually going to do the two-hour segment. She's got the movie that we're going to be filming this year called Oxytown, USA. So it's going to be Carrie and some of the cast members and some of her producers and such that are going to be on the show. We're actually not only going to be talking about the show itself, the movie that she's making, but about the premise behind it, the horrors of the addictions to OxyContin and drugs in general. March is a jam-packed week as well. We're going to have, we talked about Pamela Glasner and Louise Robinson, the writer, screenwriter. They have a movie that, one of her books is being made into a movie called The Last Coal Cone, and that's going to be what we're going to be talking about. She's actually going to be on the show on the 31st. So that's going to be an amazing lineup. We've got Rita Parisi, another singer. We got Brady from Surefire Studios, who's going to be on there as well. So, yes, want to let everybody know, we got 90 seconds. So, guys, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you guys putting up with all our technical glitches and everything that we went through as a result of this crazy weather that we've had. So I just want to leave you with this. I love you all. Thank you so much for coming. Remember, nothing is impossible for the willing heart, and do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away. And with that, I want to leave you guys with this amazing song by Amanda McCarthy called Ignite. The Indomitable, Amanda McCarthy. Good night, Mountain Man, and thanks everybody for being with us.
Good night.
There's something more to you and me I didn't see before.